It's here and now in Philly, where last night Bernie Sanders spoke about meeting a single mother struggling to make ends meet.
This election is about that woman and the millions of other workers in this country who are struggling to survive on totally inadequate wages.
Well, last week in Cleveland, we met Cynthia Cruz living with her children on her boyfriend's income of just $1,400 a month.
Poor people out here, we're struggling. We need good jobs. We need, like, you know, at least $15 an hour minimum wage. That would be great, you know. Like, pay attention to what we go through.
Well, today we'll meet a businessman who feels he is paying attention but has another point of view. We're at the Old Bar in a cobblestone neighborhood near Philly's historic center. The bartender's slinging drinks for a handful of customers here for a late lunch.
If you look at our front page, we have like our happy hour, bucket shucks if you like raw oysters. I'd say go for that. And we have a fish house punch, which is pretty deadly. Three different types of rum.
We sat down in a booth in the dimly lit, gorgeous, dark-paneled room with Scott Steenrod. He's chief operating officer at the Garces Group, which you might recognize. Iron Chef Jose Garces owns the Old Bar, and Scott tells us just how important its history is.
The Old Bar is sort of a reincarnation or rebirth of the old original Bookbinders, which was, you know, one of the most well-known restaurants in Philadelphia for generations. Opened in 1865. Ultimately ended up closing in 2004. So we have a large footprint of restaurants throughout Philadelphia, and it was really heartbreaking to see the space not have life. So we came in at the start of 2015, and it was reborn as the Old Bar, which is a sort of traditional oyster saloon with a really robust cocktail program. But it was important to us in doing that we paid homage to the history. So we were really intent on keeping the space true to what it had been over the generations. So the bar, as you see it today, is pretty much as it appeared back in 1865.
The Garces Group is a thriving local company. 850 employees work at 9 local restaurants and a food truck. And that brings us to the reason we're here. The restaurant industry is a target in the fight over the $15 minimum wage. Busboys and dishwashers often work long hours for little pay. But Scott Steenrod defends his company's position against an increase.
So, you know, the issue of minimum wage really is, in our mind, not what's at heart here. It's really about our ability to be the company that people choose to come to work for because of the culture we have and the entire reward structure that we provide, the career growth opportunities, et cetera. I think one of the great things about the restaurant world is virtually everyone that's here has grown up from within it. You know, you start as a waiter or a cook or a dishwasher, and you find a home in this industry, and then through finding great employers like us, you grow your career, and with that, you grow your wealth.
Well, this is what people who are against raising the minimum wage always point to, that it robs people of the opportunity to be trained.
That's correct, yeah, because not so much robbed. I mean, I think you can't succeed in the business if you're not training people effectively. That's the real reality, is this industry grows as people grow. You know, we cannot open new restaurants without our employees growing into new roles where they've learned in their previous role and are then capable of stepping up into the next one. And with that comes wage growth. You know, if we're stuck in a situation or if we're imposed with a situation where we're not able to control that growth cycle on our own, ultimately what's going to end up happening is growth will be stifled.
So you're saying if the new worker, you know, just shuttling dirty dishes in the back makes $15 an hour, and so does the person who'd done that 5 years ago and worked his way up to a more skilled job, if they're both paid the same, it robs you of a certain incentive.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I think, why it was interesting. They did a study recently, and they surveyed back-of-the-house workers, so cooks, dishwashers, et cetera, the reasons why they would ever choose to leave this business. And the number one reason why was a lack of career path. So it really is an issue well beyond wage.
You know, then why not raise all the boats a little bit? So start them at 15 and maybe go to 16 or 17. It's a fabulously successful chain.
It becomes an issue of a little bit of an economic issue then, because with the raising of the wages is going to come, you know, an impact ultimately someday to the consumer. And that, our fear is, will stifle growth. Now, none of our employees today are working at minimum wage. We've always, because of our commitment to doing the right thing, stay well ahead of that. And the market sets those rates.
So, but for the lower wage workers, what is the range here?
the range is really what the market dictates it needs to be for us to be the leading employer. And it, so,
so is it $8 or $9?
Higher. The minimum anybody in our company would make would start around $11 or $12 an hour and would go up from there. Again, in a market like Philadelphia where there are so many restaurants, so many options, the market has determined those rates.
Is that one of the problems with a federal minimum wage? Because you are able here to do $11, $12 for busing tables or whatever it is. But in Mississippi, a poorer state, they may not be able to do that.
Yeah, there's microeconomics and micro, you know, factors to any employment market. And so, yeah, if the federal standard is mandated across the country, I think that could be more impactful in other areas where it's really not needed.
One of the other criticisms of raising the minimum wage has been that a lot of the minimum wage workers are kids and it would even deprive them of the opportunity to get short-term summer jobs, let's say. But studies show that at least 40% of minimum wage workers are parents. And I'm imagining that, you know, you have a more adult, professional workforce here. I'm imagining that you have people who are parents and have children. Does that affect your thinking at all about how much you want to raise it?
What affects our thinking ultimately is we look at the people that work with us as members of our family. It's about their opportunity to grow, their education. We have a foundation that provides English language training for members of our family for whom English is a second language.
Well, that's what the backers of raising the minimum wage constantly point to, is that it is lots of parents, largely people of color, either African-American, Hispanic, who are on this bottom rung. And one of the reasons they stay on this bottom rung is that the wages are so low, and that raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour will help break a generational cycle of people who can't get out of poverty because they're constantly working these minimum wage jobs. And you can take that to a lot of the tension that we have today between, you know, poorer African-American communities and, you know, police, for instance. These are generations of people who can't get out of that poverty. You're nodding.
My take on that is that there's so much opportunity in this industry. I think what I have seen is that opportunity repeated thousands of times with employees that have started at that level and grew meaningful, you know, wealth-generating careers here. We have, you know, we have a chef with us today who's making, you know, an income close to $100,000 a year that started with us 4 or 5 years ago as a dishwasher. Right?
And so the dishwasher was somewhere in the range of 8 to 11 or something like that?
He probably started with us as making about $10, $11 an hour, and today he's full salary, full benefits, bonus program, et cetera, and running, you know, playing a key part in running a $6 million a year business.
So you don't see yourselves as, for instance, Walmart. You know, the huge criticism of Walmart is that there are tons of very low-paid workers who don't have any career path to another job. And they're in effect subsidized by the government because of all the benefits. I mean, one of the arguments for raising the minimum wage is that then you ease the tax burden on other Americans by taking people off of welfare, food stamps, and housing assistance. You don't see yourself as that.
We do not. I mean, to draw a comparison, honestly, between us and Walmart, it's a completely different business model. They're the Fortune 100 company. We're a family-owned, you know, independently owned company that is committed to, first and foremost, above all else, our employees and their well-being. Yeah, it's difficult for me to even mentally make that comparison.
Well, that's, I guess, what I'm saying. This may be more complicated than people think. There are different kinds of companies considering wages.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we can only do what we do if people choose to come and experience what we offer. You know, unlike somewhere where you're going to buy a product, really what we are offering is an experience. And part of that experience is the emotions, it's the service, it's the warmth, care, and hospitality that you're receiving when you come here. And you can't fake that. You know, the employees will give that to the guests if they know they're getting the same from the people that they work with every day. So that's why for us, it's much bigger than just, you know, putting food out. It's a commitment to inspired hospitality and really caring and loving one another.
Scott, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy Philly. Have a good time this week.
Scott Steenrod at the Old Bar in Philadelphia. We asked to speak with employees, but Scott felt that would put them in an awkward position, so we reached out to the food service union, Unite Here Philadelphia. A spokesperson told us the majority of workers are never promoted to high-wage jobs and pointed out MIT research that showed a living wage in Philly for an adult and one child is more than $23 an hour. Scott said he's at about 10 or 11, which others might look at and say that's high. Your thoughts as a restaurant owner or employee? Weigh in at hereandnow.org.